Our text for this morning's meditation is taken from Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning at verse 46. After 3 days, Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Thus far the text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Make us holy through the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Be seated. What for you is the epitome of innocence? Imagine you're holding a newborn baby, all wrapped up in cozy blankets, and you're snuggling with that baby and whispering cute little things to it. It's hard when you're looking at this little precious child to think of her as anything but innocent, right? I mean, what has she done wrong in the brief period that she's had thus far outside of her mother's womb? She hasn't yet mouthed off to her parents. She hasn't slammed any doors in anger. She hasn't said nasty things about her best friend. This little child has done nothing wrong. And yet, that little child is far from innocent. The Bible makes it very clear that all babies, all of us, are not only born sinful, we are conceived in sin. We inherited a sinful nature from our parents, who inherited it from their parents, who inherited it from their parents, all the way back in an unbroken chain to Adam and Eve. Even before our first act of disobedience, we are disobedient. Adam and Eve's sin is our sin. Their disobedience is our disobedience. And then there's Jesus. Because Jesus was not conceived of a man and a woman, he did not inherit a sinful nature. He was not only conceived, but he was born innocent, without sin, never disobedient in the least. He was not, from the get-go, an enemy of his heavenly Father. And this life of obedience that Jesus lived, how long did it last? Well, from outward appearances, it seems that Jesus' perfect streak ended at age 12. I mean, here he was, staying behind in Jerusalem after the Passover festival without telling Joseph and Mary what he was up to. The festival had ended. The family and friends of Joseph and Mary had all started back on their trek back to Nazareth. And they supposed that Jesus was with the group. They weren't really that worried that Jesus wasn't right there in their sight. They figured he was going to catch up to them probably by that evening. But then evening came. They looked, no Jesus. They searched among all of their family and friends, that large group of people, and they still couldn't find him. Imagine the panic that had to have been taking hold of Mary and Joseph as they searched in vain for their son. And then to spend an anxious night waiting again, wondering where their son was, and the next morning heading back to Jerusalem, searching all day again without finding him, spending another anxious night not knowing where he was, followed by more searching the next day. And then finally, on that next day, that third day, they found him. Not hanging out with some juvenile delinquents, not making the rounds of the after-festival parties. No, they found him sitting in the temple courts, listening to the teachers, asking them questions, humbly learning. Now, even though Jesus was not up to no good, how can we say that he was obedient to his parents? Now, granted, the text tells us that he was obedient to them after they had returned to Nazareth. But was Jesus being disobedient by not letting Mary and Joseph know where he was, by staying behind in the temple courts? Well, Jesus was obedient to his parents because he was being obedient to his Father. Didn't you know, he asked them, didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house? Another way of translating that would be, didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's business? Because he was man and God, Jesus was subject to his earthly parents and to his heavenly Father. His Father's business included learning God's word, which is exactly what he was doing there in the temple. His Father's business included coming more and more aware of what his role of as Savior of the world was. His Father's business included honoring and respecting his earthly parents, which he did. But the boy Jesus was not obedient to his earthly parents and to his heavenly Father for no reason. He was obedient for us. Now I want you to think about the first time that you can remember being disobedient. Now I've already said that we're all born disobedient, but think about the first time that you acted in disobedience. I have this foggy memory of me as a 2-year-old chasing after my sisters, trying to whack them over the head with the cast that was on my broken arm. And in the intervening 50 plus years, I can't even begin to count all of the times that I've been disobedient. Just think of all of the heartache and the grief that, for example, you've caused your parents, maybe especially during your teenage years. How many times have you mouthed off at them using language fit only for the gutter? How many times did you ignore their rules and followed your own rules instead? And can you even begin to count all of the hateful thoughts that you've had or maybe even have in your hearts against your mom or your dad? You know, in the Old Testament, a disobedient son could be stoned to death. Look it up in Deuteronomy 21. But that law doesn't apply to us anymore. Why? Because Jesus was obedient for us. Jesus lived his entire life, not just his childhood, without ever sinning, without ever breaking the fourth commandment, never once refusing to do chores, never mouthing off to his parents. And he did it for two reasons. One, so that when he went to the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, he was the sinless sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice that God required. And then secondly, so that that perfect life that he lived could be given to us. When you were baptized, when God brought you to faith in Jesus, he gave you that perfect life of his Son. And so when God looks at you now, he doesn't see all of the times that you've sinned, all of the times that you've broken the fourth commandment. He only sees his perfect child. And that is our motivation for continuing to be obedient to God now. Not that we have Jesus looking over our shoulder, glaring at us, just waiting for us to mess up, telling us to look to him as an example of how to live. No, rather, we get our motivation to obey God because of what Jesus has done for us. When we're tempted and we're wondering what to do, we look to Jesus. We say, Jesus lived and died for me. He has broken the stranglehold that sin has on me. I don't have to do this sin. And when we do stumble and we sin anyway, again, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus and remember that he has taken away all of your sins. Ask God to forgive you for Jesus' sake. And he does. And then move on from there. The boy Jesus was obedient, not to make you feel guilty by comparison, but to give you forgiveness of your sins, to give you eternal life. His obedience is your obedience. Amen.